Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk with actor Anthony Sharp. He's best known as Seth on Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries. He's also been on The Australians, The Voice. He competed. He'll tell you a little bit about that. And he went to the Miss Fisher convention, and he's got a whole slew of projects to talk about. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Hello. How you going, Sherry?
Okay. We were talking off camera, off the show. I have a cold, so if my voice goes out, I'm sorry. just letting the public know. Yeah, please keep chatting. I'll get back. why don't you tell a little bit about how you got into acting and singing, a little bit about your background?
Okay, so I started, well, I first started probably, I was a musician before I started acting. When I was at school, I played in bands. And I always played as a guitarist, actually, and it was probably towards the end of school we went in, I think it was a battle of the bands, and the guitarist who was the better guitarist than I would do all the fancy bits, and I would just play rhythm, and I never sang or did anything like that, and he was the singer. And he said, look, I can't sing and play these hard bits at the same time while we're rehearsing. He said, so you just sort of sing through the words a bit, and that'll get us through the rehearsals. And then I said, okay, sure thing. And then came closer to the day, I think it was the day before, and he said, oh, look, I'm not going to be able to sing it. You're going to have to sing it. And so I was thrust into the spotlight as a singer. And it was actually, there was about 500 people there. It was just a local battle of the bands at the local country fair. And so I found myself singing in front of, you know, all my family and friends for the first time, having never sung before, and didn't get too bad a response for it. And I sort of left it at that. And then years later, after that band had split up and he'd gone on to sort of doing more music, and I'd sort of dropped it. And he came back and said, oh, look, our singer's gone away overseas for a holiday for about 3 months. Do you want to just fill in and sing? And so I sort of did that. And then they kicked their singer out and asked me to join the band. And then from there I went on, had singing lessons and started learning a bit about the craft. And, you know, I played in many bands, probably about 6 or 7 bands, and then found myself in a cabaret restaurant. And it was a crazy little cabaret restaurant called Dracula's. Back then it was called Dracula's Theatre Restaurant. It's now called Dracula's Comedy Cabaret, and it's a mad family-run business where you come in, there's a ghost train to get into the place, and there's this crazy show, this sort of horror-themed show, and has dancing and singing and comedy and all sorts of crazy stuff. And I auditioned and got a job there, where I met my wife, actually. And that sort of, there was a lot of actors in that space, and one of the actors was fairly well known on the Australian scene, a guy called Brett Swain, and he said to me, he said, why don't you get a headshot and, you know, give it to some casting agents and, you know, see if you can get a few gigs. So it was pretty much, I did, I was young, I went, oh, okay, and I took a photo and sent it to some casting agents, and back then you had to do the little paper resumes and send them in as well, and just started booking some gigs, some TV commercials, and from there I, you know, started studying, you know, a little bit here and there, and the rest is sort of history. That's in a nutshell. That's how I started off. So it was singing, and then cabaret, and then into acting.
That's interesting, because a lot of people start when they're singers and get into acting through like musical theater. You did it a little different. That's cool.
I did, and my wife's always said to me, she said, you love acting and you love singing, and how come you're not into doing musicals? And I just it hasn't been something that sort of captured my attention as something to do. I've always felt that sort of life of doing a theatre show. It's very much, you know, you're in it and it's very much all consuming, and then at the end of it you're out of a job. You know, so it's quite a hectic, crazy lifestyle, and you know, you're away from the family a lot. And I think at this point in time, you know, I enjoy my family, I enjoy being around, so it hasn't been something that's been sort of direction that I've wanted to chase.
Yeah, that must have been really hard to be away from your family for as long as the show was going, that you were on the show. I always wonder, you know, about entertainers, because they always have to go somewhere for shoots and stuff like that. It must be so hard because you're like uprooted from your loved ones.
I think, yeah, definitely with that sort of that lot, you know, sort of lifestyle. A lot of friends in the industry, and you know, again, a lot of them are a lot younger, and you know, I think it's a great way to get out and see the world and see the country. But you know, as the ones that get older and settle down, I know it's, you know, it's certainly about work and the paycheck, and you know, getting back home every opportunity and getting the family out every opportunity as well. You know, as we all age.
Everybody, yeah. Would you like to talk a little bit about how it came about that you got to play Seth, and how you felt about Miss Fisher and the popularity in the States and Britain and all around other countries for your Australian show? That's really cool. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it was one of those funny stories. At the time, I think I'd sort of been doing some guest roles here and there, but it was very quiet pre doing Miss Fisher's, probably for about, I think it was a little over a year, and it was one of those points where I think every actor sort of goes through it, when you know, you get like a purple patch, and you're getting lots of work through, and other times when it is a bit scarce on the ground, and it gets a bit frustrating, and I was a bit frustrated with the industry at that point, and I was running a business as well on the side, running a web design business, and I was very busy, and I'd been going for some sort of cast roles and ongoing roles, and you know, hadn't had any success, and when this one sort of came about, I just remember it was a very, very hectic time work-wise, and it was an audition. I thought, you know what, it's going to take me 2 hours to, by the time I get there and do the audition and come back, and it's a crazy day. I don't think I'm going to go for this audition. I'm not going to get it. It was when I was in one of those sort of moments, and my wife said to me, she said, you get in there and you go and do it, pretty much. And I did. I just went in, and I, you know, it was just another audition, and I went in, and Alison Telford's the casting director, and we just went in and said, g'day, did the audition. I was in there for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, ran through the scene and a couple of times, and then I was back out the door, and I thought, you know, well, that was a waste of a couple of hours, and I'll fly back and, you know, get busy with work. I didn't hear anything about it, didn't get a call back. And I think it was, I don't know, it was maybe 4 weeks later, maybe, I got a phone call from my agent, said, oh, you've got the part. And so I didn't get any second or third auditions to come back and do it. It was one of those, and I was just like, are you sure? They haven't made a mistake. I was only in there for a couple of minutes. And so it was quite one of those points where I was sort of thinking of having a downturn and just throwing the acting away. And then that came along, and I didn't know about the character, about Phryne. And I remember I called my sister, who is working in a bookstore. And I said, I've got this, you know, this gig playing this guy called Seth, and I think I even called her Phryne. I think her name's Phryne, Phryne Fisher. My sister said, no, it's Phryne Fisher. She said, oh my God, those books are amazing. And so she bought me a couple straight out of the shop, and I started reading them. And sure enough, you know, the books were fantastic and very gritty and very Australian, and it was just one of those amazing things. And then, you know, coming on board such a great team, and the ABC, you know, it's such a great network to work for, and really great crew and a great cast to work with. And yeah, so we sort of thrust back into the acting world and back into a series, and it was really good. It was quite a big learning curve being on there, and a lot of, you know, fantastic actors came through, you know, doing guest roles, and obviously the cast being such a great cast as well. And yeah, it was an amazing experience, you know, especially starting that first season.
So it's all because your wife, but just do it.
Yeah, I know. So she can claim the credit there. It's crazy how, you know, life puts you in those situations. I hear a lot of stories about, my wife was just telling me one today. She saw an interview with, the guy that had the doc on Back to the Future, and he was about to throw Hollywood in when he got the script for Back to the Future, and actually said that he actually chucked the script in the bin, and his agent said, go in and do it, you know, and of course the rest is history there. It's funny, there's so many stories about when people are, you know, at a certain point when they're like, and they go in and then they you know, get these roles that, you know, that sort of change, you know, change their careers. And it's certainly, this has been one, it's been great to be involved in, and just the, I think just around the world, just the love that people have for the shows and the love that people have for the characters, you know, it's just been amazing. We the show aired here, it started airing on a Friday night, and in Friday nights it was the same time that the AFL football was on here, so it was a real which is massively followed in Australia. So it was a bit of a gamble, but pretty much I think that they got you know, anyone who wasn't the diehard footy thing, so, you know, no one else was prepared to put anything up against the football, so they garnered quite a smart following in that regard as well. And you know, in Australia obviously the viewing rates in Australia are a lot less than overseas because our population's less, but I think it was sort of a little over a mil or 1.5 mil, but with the online viewing as well, it was around about the 2 million, 1.8 to 2 million people viewing per episode, which was really good. And then overseas, once it sort of went and started getting sold overseas, just the followings and the amount of people that were watching per episode was amazing. And, you know, it's been translated into multiple different languages, and it's, which is quite funny. I remember Hugo bought showed a YouTube clip, and I think he was doing the German accent. And, it's quite funny seeing yourself translated into another language for sure.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's just so funny that and their voices sound nothing. I mean, nothing like the actors who are playing. It's just. It's always fun, especially when it's
a
woman and they have like a deep voice or something.
It's
more like a man.
It's even more disconcerting when that's yourself to listen to it rather than, you know, someone else.
Yeah, oh, I bet. That is so funny. So you and Travis are the your team on the show. How did your relationship evolve? Did you know each other before?
No, we hadn't met before. Travis has been in the industry for, you know, for a long time, and he's certainly a bit of a veteran, and he's done some amazing work. And I of course knew who he was. He started one of the early roles he did was in a show called Good Guys, Bad Guys, which was quite a groundbreaking show in Australia. It was very cutting edge at the time, and he played a young guy with Tourette's, and that sort of brought him right up in the spotlight. And then he went on to do, you know, some fantastic other work as well. So I knew who he was, and I was very excited to work with him. And I remember we met the first day that we were to test drive our first car, our little sort of taxi cab that you see in the first episode, which I think was a Model T, I think. with a bizarre thing to drive all these weird controls in different places. That was, and we had to do, you know, car chase scenes in it and everything, which was always fun. And so I met him there, and we, yeah, just started having a chat. It was great to actually have something to do and have a bit of a laugh about this crazy thing that we were getting into, trying to drive this car. And he was certainly, we became good friends, you know, through doing the show. And he was great with me. I had a large learning curve on that show, and he was very much took me under his wing with a lot of things, and I learned a bit of a mentor on the show. And you know, and it's great. We offset, we caught up recently in the States when we came over for the convention.
I can't hear you, Anthony.
As well, and
there you, you were gone for a minute.
Have you? Oh, sorry. So I went and hung out with him and his wife in America prior to the convention, and you know, we love what you say it in Australia. The term is a shit stir. You know, like we like to sort of joke and tease each other. That's what you call it in Australia. So we're it's one of the terms for it. And very much on screen and off screen, it's quite a similar relationship. He's more gruff and you know, but he loves a joke, and we sort of tease each other, and we have a great old time. So he's certainly become a good friend over the years.
That's really cool. Did you guys enjoy going to the convention and having all your fans going cuckoo? And was it fun?
It was fantastic. It was such a great experience, and just seeing again firsthand that, you know, people just love the show. They just, you know, I think what struck me with it all was that out of this television show, all of these people, you know, have come together from, you know, all around, you know, all this in you know, America, all around the country, and again with that the sort of group of people all around the world, and you know, getting together and watching episodes, you know, while being online and chatting in the chat rooms on it, and doing those sort of weekly reviews of the show, and these real friendships have formed from this show, and it's all come about because, you know, a group of people in Australia got together and you know, put this production on, and you know, it was quite amazing, and they were so gracious with us, and you know, really enjoyed it, and were really thankful for us to be over there, and we were just rapt to be over there and have fun and have a lot of laughs, and you know, all the questions and interview questions and the different things that we did over there, we had a ball. And being set in Vegas, you know, what a great place for a convention.
That's wonderful.
Crazy old time. I didn't get much sleep.
No, you don't do that at conventions. You've never been to any conventions in Australia? I know there's some huge ones there.
No, I haven't really done that before. Yeah, not the fan conventions, and obviously, you know, being Vegas too, I hadn't been to Vegas as well. So, you know, I think I was there for 3 nights. I think I only got about 7 or 8 hours over the 3 days sleep in the end, because we still go out and party afterwards, and yeah, it was great.
That's fun. This is kind of sound like a silly question, but you met all your fans in person. I mean, I know you probably met them in Australia from time to time. What was it like to be introduced like a rock star and have all the people screaming for you guys?
It's great. Who wouldn't love that? yeah, it was quite, you know, like they, like I said, people really love, they really love the show, and you know, it was an amazing experience, just having that sort of excitement around something that you've been involved with and that you've done, and having people so interested to, you know, hear about what happens backstage, and you know, and how was the journey of doing that show, and you know, all of those sort of questions. It was great, and yeah, we did. We went in there. We actually came down the first night, and everyone was in the bar having some drinks. So we sort of gate crashed gate crashed the introduction party, and we ended up sort of having a few beers with everyone down in the foyer in the bar there, and the first night. So that was great. But when we came down, there was a big cheer. Hey, Burton Stanley! And I think it
That's
was great.
Cool.
It was great for us, and I think it was great for everyone else that we were there as a duo, because that's, you know, I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to get over there, and it was certainly fun that we were able to be there together as a duo, and I think it was good for everyone else too, because, you know, you just, there's more fun, there's more, a bit more frivolity happening, you know, and stirring and lots of laughs that way, I think.
It's the convention's always fun because you those are the diehards and they adore you guys, and me too. And you knew I wanted to go, but their circumstances sort of made it impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
And my other question about the show, and then we'll switch to other projects. You guys, when you're working on a series, you create a family. You know, with Essie and Nathan and Ashley and Travis and Hugh and everybody. I mean, Hugo, sorry. How do you feel? I mean, it must be like you're like, when you leave it, it must be like you're like leaving them forever. I mean, I know you probably see each other, but is it weird that you like come together as these strangers, become a family, and then you break apart?
I think, yeah, that's it. Look, it is, that is, and that's something on any project, and that's one of those things that happens. And certainly in this, and because it was such a tight-knit little cast, and everyone did get along so well that it, you know, and you're spending a lot of time together, and then all of a sudden it does, yeah, like the last day of shooting. And I think the... what was it? One season when we had the, I remember it was the scene. Now I need to check my names. Was it Foyle when he came in and he poisoned us all? He drugged us all so that we'd all fallen asleep. That the actual shot when we're on the ground and we're all sort of knocked out in the house. That was the last shoot, last scene of the last day of that series. And it was such. And I always remember that was such a thing where. Sort of all lying there, and then it was such a, you know, this particular shot, it was just, we're all lying there, you know, with our eyes closed, so it was such a nothing shot, and then he goes, okay, you know, they cut, all right, that's a wrap, the series is done, and, you know, and then you sort of, you're up and you're out, and, you know, you always have a wrap party, which is great, and then, you know, everything sort of dies off, you don't see, everyone's off to their other projects, and, you know, it really is. It's, you know, occasional phone calls, but, you know, you do get swallowed back up by your life. So it's a very weird, it's probably the most horrible part, I think, of working on something so collaboratively. It's not like, you know, I've done lots of jobs and different things like that. It's certainly a different, when it's creative, sort of work when you finish up and you move on. So it's I think that's one of the sad things about the industry, but it's always there. But then you're on to the next project, and you know, and then you've got a new, you know, family and friends that you're getting to know and do that. So, but I think, you know, over the 3 years is you know, it's a long time to be developing friends. And you know, yeah, you stay in touch, and some more than others, and you know, depending where people are situated and located and what sort of work they've got on. But yeah,
do you so. When you guys are you like talk to each other like email or something, or do you just? I mean, I know you guys go off in your different directions, but you stay in touch, right?
Yeah, we do. You know, look, I had a a message from Essie recently. I was just finished on The Voice, and I got a message, yay! And one from her girls, saying, you know, which was so funny. We think you're a rock star, da da da. You know, it was such a lovely message, and you know, they thought it was the biggest thing ever, and I just was having a chuckle that, you know, her, you know, their mum's a superstar actor and their dad's a superstar director, And I do a couple of episodes on The Voice, and they think that's the biggest thing since sliced bread. So I was having a chuckle about that.
I think that's adorable.
Yeah, so that was great. I think it is. It was very heartwarming. It was great. I was on the before coming over to the States. So I was just on the phone with Hugo up in Sydney. Well, we tried to catch up when I was up there doing The Voice, but he was away at the time. So again, it's just one of those things where you miss each other with your schedules. And I probably keep in touch with Travis most often. I've got to get up to see Nathan. Nathan lives up in the country now, and we're supposed to catch up soon, so I've got to got to get back onto that. And then of course Ashley, she's over in LA at the moment, and bizarrely ran into her when I was over there, which was another story. I'm not sure whether I've mentioned that in it before the show, but I went into UCB to see some improv in LA there, and we were sitting in the front row, and this girl walked in, and I've just gone, no way, Ashley Cummings. She's gone, what, Anthony Sharp? No way. And then, we totally didn't realise that the other one was going to be there, and it was just she randomly showed up to this same show, hadn't never seen improv before, and then so it was great. So we caught up, went out and had dinner, and it was a lot of fun. So you keep in touch where you can, but everyone's got families and work and everything, so it does get hard to do when you're on set and you're working together. You tend to obviously catch up more offset during the time when you're actually working together than once the project's finished.
Yeah, must be hard. Oh, sorry, my voice went out a little bit. You have a lot of projects. You want to highlight the ones you want to talk about most? Just tell a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, so I've been probably been doing a lot of independent stuff recently. Semi-finished a feature film called Mutt, and we've actually got to go back and do some reshoots at the end of next month for that. Got to grow my facial hair back again. I'm almost clean shaven at the moment. And that was a film that was directed by Samuel Galloway, and he it's set around a family. And family issues, but one of the big themes in this particular film is dogfighting, and I was playing one of the head guys that actually ran the sort of dogfighting ring, and so that was a really interesting thing to play. And doing some research on that, both me and my wife are right into animal welfare, try and do a lot of things in our spare time towards that. So that was an interesting thing to get involved in. And so I've just finished. So that'll be finished end of next month, and that'll be then. It's currently got a rolling edit happening at the moment. And I just did another short film when I got back from the States, playing a father to a young girl, and it was actually a road trip movie. I've never done a road trip film. It's logistically quite a funny thing to do. You've just got all these rigs moving around on the car, a lot of driving, and replaying these scenes over. And so every setup is quite a big technical setup. But that was a really interesting story, and I hadn't sort of done something as a father, and it was a daughter as well, and it was great, just because having my own daughter, who's 8, this daughter in the film was 13, so it was very easy to sort of relate to the story and get quite emotional in regards to the content of the film. And so that was, I'm really looking forward to seeing that one, and it's actually there's going to be virus, herpes virus, that's going to be released into the Murray River. It's a carp virus, and it's because we've got we introduced carp, the carp fish over here. I don't know why, and they've taken over this Murray River system, which is a massive river that runs the borders of Victoria and New South Wales. And apparently there's about 6 to 8 million tonne of these fish, carp fish, in the river at the moment. So they are a pest and it's an issue. But by introducing this this virus, it's going to apparently wipe them out. But it's very contentious, and a lot of people believe that it hasn't been sort of thought through well enough. And there's a big thing about, 6 to 8 million tonne of dead, rotting fish, because it'll apparently wipe them out quite quickly in the river system. And what that will do, to the environment and to the other fish in the river. Yeah, it's a full-on thing. So that's going to happen, apparently. They're due to release that at the start of 2018. So this young filmmaker, Philip Dixon, his name is, and he's from that Mildura region, and he's sort of grown up with all this sort of stuff. And basically, the story is about a father who's sort of estranged from the wife, and takes the daughter who's sick, who he believes is sick from this virus. And he's very much on edge, and he's got sort of his own issues, and takes her on this trip with a ute trailer load of fish down to dump on Parliament House as a protest, and he wants to take his sick daughter down there, to protest this thing. And his sort of world's been falling apart, but as they go and go further along on this trip, the daughter's getting sicker and sicker, and it's just that the playoff between the two of them. So it's a fairly serious sort of film. It's got some great little moments in it, but it was a great role to play, and it was also one that we were able to. We got away. It was up in the country, shot up in the country. There was no reception. So it was actually a great way, because normally I have so many different things going on, even when I'm on set, my phone's ringing and this is happening, and, my brain can be in a few different places. So it was great. We had this old farmhouse and no reception, and we worked during the day. We'd come back, we'd all cook meals and sit around the campfire, and it was a really great experience to get away and do. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that finished. So that was something recent, and just sort of doing a few other bits and pieces, little sort of smaller parts in some other feature films, again all independent, because there's been some great stuff that's being done independently now in Australia. I'm not sure how that is, in the States, but certainly people doing on these really micro budgets and really being able to produce great quality content and, great storytelling and production teams. I'm actually often amazed with the younger kids now, because I remember when we were that age, I'm sure we didn't have that much talent. there's young kids out there, there's filmmakers, and they've got gear that's fantastic, because the gears, that you shoot with now is, it allows you to do fantastic quality, and we just didn't have access to that, unless you had, $40,000-$50,000. And they're very smart, and I don't know whether it's the accessibility on the internet now to learn so much more voraciously than we did when we were younger. And, young kids, just they can just produce some fantastic quality stuff. It really amazes me.
It is amazing. It's the digital world.
It is. Look, it really is. The issue is sometimes, there's a lot of stories, I think, out there that probably don't deserve to be told. I've seen a lot of those people, have an idea and think, does anyone really want to hear that story, But when you can tell the up-and-coming directors, they know the point of the story, they know the character's journey from the start to the end. It's not just about the plot, it's about the relationships, of the characters in that, make a film work. And, you can sort of get that idea off them very early in the piece when you're auditioning and when you're chatting to them. And, obviously the independent stuff with the bigger stuff, you're auditioning, you just want to get the gig, you want to get the money in the door. And when it's some of the smaller independent stuff, obviously, you're really doing your homework on them as much as they're doing their homework on you to see if you'll take on the actual role, you know, and give the time to it. So, because often it is, you know, the money's less and, you know, it's about coming out with a good project, and that's the reason why you're taking on the job. So, yeah, so just doing a lot of little things like that. I've got, I do a bit of editing as well, so I'm editing two films at the moment, and I sort of get involved in front and behind the camera and just a range of sort of different things to keep myself
really
busy.
Cool. That's really cool. You are busy, aren't you?
Yeah, it is. I've got a little bit
really
crazy home life at the moment. I'm just looking out the door. We've got a builder working on the back of our house at the moment. Now the house looks like Baghdad. It's a bit of a war zone. There's stuff everywhere outside. So we've sort of got a chaotic home at the moment. And inside and out, you know, as I said, my wife's an entertainer as well. So, you know, we have this crazy lifestyle. You know, the weekends are our, you know, often our work week, where we go out and we do gigs and then, you know, during the week can be our quiet time when everyone else is at work. So, you know, right now, like on a day like today, is where I can sort of sit home and have a bit of a relax sometimes curl up on the couch, flick the TV on if I'm not racing around doing something stupid and crazy.
I do have one fan question. Are you going to be in the Miss Fisher movie that they've been talking about? Did have anybody talk to you or reached out to you?
We don't know. We don't know anything about. I think only Nathan and Essie know the script to date. So we are all still in the dark as to what is happening with that, what the storyline is and where that's going to go. So, look, I hope so. That was certainly the general gist of the idea, you know, when Deb and Fiona originally were talking about, you know, doing this. It will just really depend on, you know, what the particular storyline they're going for in, you know, in the movie, you know. But look, I do hope so. I think for me, the show as well, I think always works best when you get to see this crazy bunch of misfits, you know, a detective and, you know, and Miss Fisher and this young detective and, you know, and then there's, you know, this young maid and then there's these two red ragger guys that are, you know, full commies and, you know, against the establishment and, you know, and this, you know, this butler man who's, you know, who's very, you know, looks very prim and proper, but you sort of realise there's all this, you know, stuff behind the scenes to make him this fantastic guy and all this crazy bunch coming together and they shouldn't work together as a team. It shouldn't work, but it does, you know, and that's what I love. I think probably my favourite episode was when we filmed on the Polly Woodside on the ship and we came in with the guns and, you know, like it was an all in together as the whole team working together. And we had a lot of comments, you know, from that, people just saying, you know, oh, it's just great to see you all pitching in and all getting along and, you know, just all the little quips that come along, you know, in those episodes. So that to me is the real magic of that show, is seeing this really misfit bunch come together and work as a team and make it work.
Yep. Well, we hope you're in it. You know, we all love you and we really hope you're in it.
So do I. We'll find out. It'll be something to find out and see. So, and again, depending where everyone is and you know, what sort of work we've got happening. So, I'm hoping to be over in the States in early next year. So that could be exciting as well.
Yeah, cool. We've come to the end, believe it or not. Thank you so much
for taking the time. So
yeah, I know. Half hour, no, 40 minutes. The tech goes shoop.
It does. It goes really quick. Oh, well, thanks for having me. I could have chatted for another hour. So That's me. So I don't take a breath in between talking. We probably could have spoke over many more subjects, but I ramble on too much.
No, it was delightful. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. Yeah.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Great. Thanks very much for having me, and thanks everyone for listening.